Welcome back, everybody. Yay, I'm back. It's your girl, Reese. Oh, I have been gone for way too long. Well, if you don't listen to The Introverted Nerd Reads, I have been gone for a very long time. Since the end of The Gifted, I have not done a TV podcast. So I'm sorry, you guys. I had problems. If you follow me on social media, you'll know that first I got a cold, then I had no internet, and then when I got internet, I still had a cold. And I quit Black Lightning. There was a lot going on. So yay, welcome back. I am back. Cloak and Dagger is back. So yes, so much excitement. By the way, you're listening to The Introverted Nerd Watches. I'm sorry, I've been so, I'm so out of practice that I'm just so happy to talk about this show. I'm excited that Cloak and Dagger is back. I'm excited to be back. I hope you're excited that I'm back and that Cloak and Dagger is back. We're all excited about everything. Let's all just agree that we're all very excited. and I will stop saying excited right now. What else do I have to tell you before I get into all of the details of Cloak and Dagger? Okay, like I said, I quit Black Lightning because, you guys, it was getting so bad. And I so do not want to be that person that is hate watching a show. Like, there are shows like Saved by the Bell that I think are bad, but they're fun bad. I'm never hate watching Saved by the Bell. As much as those as bad as those episodes are sometimes, I still love every second of it. Even when I hate Screech, like Screech is like the only place that I go where I'm like, I'm almost hate watching an episode. But even then, I like making fun of him, and I like wishing for his death. Screech, not Dusted Diamond. I'm not that type of person. I'm not wishing for actual death of people. But so even then, I'm having fun with everything. I stopped having fun with Black Lightning. I could not deal with those characters anymore. I actively dislike the Pierces right now. There was just so much of it I didn't like. And I actually stopped watching the show. Losing internet was probably the best thing that ever happened because it gave me an excuse to just like say, fuck this, and I'm not watching it anymore. And Black Lightning also took that break. That was just, it made me... like, if you're a bad show or if you're like in the middle of a bad season, it is a bad, bad, bad idea to take breaks because it gives the audience a chance to forget about you and to say, yeah, why do I need to be watching that show when I could be watching other good stuff? And that's what I was doing. I was watching Naruto and what else? I was watching rewatching Disenchantment, and I was just... like, I was watching better TV shows, basically. Over Black Lightning, I will not be doing that show on the podcast anymore. I did a poll a few weeks ago now and about which show that I should do next while I was doing Cloak and Dagger and not Black Lightning, and Saved by the Bell. And the people picked... Umbrella Academy. So I still plan on doing that. But like I said, I lost internet, so I couldn't do it like when I wanted to. So I'm going to try to rework my schedule so I can do a few episodes on Umbrella Academy. It won't be like an episode by episode thing. I'll probably do two or three episodes at a time. So yeah, when I get ready to do that, I already started watching the show. It's really good. So when I get ready to do that, I'll announce something on Twitter or something like that. You'll know when I finally start watching. I'm sorry, I'm so far behind, you guys. What else? That's it. Let's talk about this Cloak and Dagger because I liked this premiere. It was well, I was, it's not a double episode. It was two episodes, like back-to-back episodes, episode one and episode two. So we got a 2-hour premiere, which was like, unless you're Game of Thrones, I kind of don't want shows to do 2-hour premieres, but this was good. I liked this premiere. Or these two episodes. I'm doing it all one at the same time. So I'm going to mix and match throughout the show. It's going to be spoilers for one and two. I'm not doing like a play by play through both episodes because it'll be here all night. So yeah, I liked these two episodes. It was the two episodes were called Restless Energy and White Lines. So yeah, Ty and Tandy are back and they're fucking shit up and making tons of mistakes and being messy, and I love it. I freaking love it. So we're about 8 months since the end of last season, and I'm basing that on the fact that when Ty saw his girlfriend Evita, we'll talk about the whole girlfriend bit in a second. When Ty talks to Evita, Evita says that it's been 8 months since she's seen him. So, yeah, so I'm guessing it's been 8 months since the end of last season, give or take like a few weeks or so. So yeah. Ty is really good at his powers now. They both just discovered like new facets to their powers in these first two episodes, which is really cool that they're both like evolving. They have a much better relationship. It's still not romantic yet between Ty and Tandy, but I could see how they could move in that direction because it's almost like they treat it like they're soulmates. I mean, if you want to, I guess that's the right description of it. They're almost like soulmates, the way that they talk to each other. Like at one point, Tandy tells Ty that when she saves him from the drug dealers and they go back to the church, she's upset that he lied to her about, you know, what he was doing. And it turns out in that moment they had both lied to each other, but we'll get into that. So she's getting on him about how he lied to her. And she tells him, like, we're not supposed to lie to each other. We're supposed to tell each other everything. That's how this works. So, from that, I take that's how it is with them, that they always, well, you find out that they haven't been doing that, but that they both feel like that is what they should be doing. That they should both be telling each other everything at all times, that they, like, that's just the kind of connection that they're supposed to have. Now, I don't know how you could be in a relationship with somebody else when you have that kind of connection with one person. Like, Tandy and Ty are connected in that way. They're the yin and the yang. They balance each other out. So I don't know how either of them could have relationships with other people when their connection with each other is so close. But I guess we'll get into that as the season goes on and, you know, things evolve. But right now it's not really to my, like, not like, I don't know, even know how to say it, but I just don't like it that they're not like together yet, because I totally ship Ty and Tandy. They have really good chemistry together. I like them, just them together, as whatever they are now, just friends, is like really good to me. So let's start with Ty. Ty is still living in the church. He's restless. You know, Like, he has a bunch of restless energy. He doesn't know what to do with himself. So what he starts to do, the worst thing in the world that he could have done at this point, I guess, is that he gets a tip from Bridget O'Reilly. Bridget O'Reilly, who at the end of last season, we saw her, you know, rise up out of the water. She had those, like, her eyes were all, like, I don't know, supernatural-ish. She was like some other creature that rose from the swamp. And she is back. She is back at her job. When we start the first episode, she's back in the police force. And the story is that she just got hurt. She was like hurt on the job. She had like a shoulder injury or something like that, or an arm injury. So she's back at work as a cop. And yeah, shit gets crazy with her as these two episodes evolve. So Ty gets a tip from Bridget O'Reilly that there's a new gang called whatever they're called. I forget what they're called. They moved in like somewhere close to his church and they're selling drugs around there. And he spends his nights watching, watching people sell. And he decides that what he's going to do is to start to steal drugs, money, and weapons from that gang. And he takes what he steals from Bridget O'Reilly. But while he's stealing everything, he gets caught, actually. Ty always gets caught. He should just stay in that church because my man gets caught all the time. He got caught like two or three times, at least three times in these first two episodes. He got caught, you know, trying to help people, just got caught, got his ass beat once when Tandy helped him. Like, yeah, he needs help. So he takes that evidence, that the stuff that he took back to Bridget O'Reilly. He scares her by just appearing in her car behind her. Like, Bridget has got a lot of shit going on too. She's popping pills, trying to pop pills while she's at work. And was she doing that last season? I believe she was doing that last season. Like, at first I thought that it was like her being kind of undercover. Like, so when she was snorting, like, the evidence, snorting cocaine or something like that, I was like, okay, she's doing that to try to fit in. She's trying to fit into this, like, corrupt police department thing they got going on. But no, I think my girl just has a drug problem and a drinking problem. She just got problems. So Ty takes that stuff to her and she tells him, like, yo, what are you doing? You have to let the cops handle this. I didn't give you that tip so that you could be a vigilante out there. I gave you that tip so that you would know, and that you could stay out of trouble. And, she's telling him the police will do it. And he's telling her, like, will the police do it? You know, I'm still out here wanted for murdering a cop. Nobody has seen Connors. He has disappeared into that place. I believe he disappeared into, the dark place in Ty's, cloak, right? I think it's been a minute since I watched, the season finale, but I do believe that that's where he got swallowed up into that, to the dark place where in Ty's cloak. So he's gone for good, probably, most likely. Because, I mean, I don't know how they're going to handle it in the show, but in the comic book, when people go in there, the longer they stay there, it drives them crazy because it's their worst nightmares. So being in that place will just, he'll go crazy. But I guess they don't need, and eventually I think you die, but I guess they don't need him to be, I don't know, cognizant of it, what's going on or lucent. They just need him to appear so that so that you know he's not dead. I don't know. I don't know what they need, but Ty is still wanted for murdering a cop. So he has to be, he has to, you know, stay low. He can't come out into the open anymore. And that's what she tells him. You know, he's telling her that he's trying to do the right thing, that he thinks that this is what he needs to do. And she's just telling him, no, we have the cops have everything handled. And she tells him about a meeting that they have set up and, you know, just a bunch of shit that they have going on, the cops, to try to, you know, to try to stop anything from happening. Because what Ty does, because he continues to steal from the gangs, he basically starts a gang war, because the when he gets caught the second time, that gang thinks that the original gang that he stole from is the one that sent him to steal that money. And so shit just blows up from there. Like, he started a gang war, like fucking Ty. And then, like, Ty, I feel so bad for him because he spends most of his time alone. We see him, he goes to see his family, his mom and his dad. He watches his mom come home from work and eat Chinese food in front of the window. And he watches his dad go to like a bodega or something like that, just like a corner store. And I wonder if they're trying to say that the parents split up, because the mom is at home eating dinner. The dad is getting something from like a corner store that's not in their neighborhood. It's like in his old neighborhood, like where they went last season when they were making the costumes for Mardi Gras. He like went to the old neighborhood. And that's where it looked like he was at. It didn't look like they're, you know, the new neighborhood that they live in. So I'm wondering if they're trying to suggest that the parents have split up. And I guess, like, I mean, you could understand why they would. One son died. The other son is on the run, could be dead. They have no idea where Ty is. So that has to be like a real strain on their relationship that was already really strained. So, yeah, he watches his family. He also watches Evita, his girlfriend. Last season, I just actively disliked Evita. Now I'm just sort of, I don't want them to be together. So it might just be my shipper goggles on that I'm not liking her. But I want Ty and Tandy to be together. And Evita being there is just sort of annoying to me. But she was helpful in this episode, I guess. God, whatever. I'm such a bitch. I want Ty and Tandy to be together. That's my ship. I'm going down with that ship. So anyway, so he watches Evita too. And after Ty gets, caught and, Tandy saves him, when he's stealing from the second gang. That's when they have their big blow up, and, you know, she accuses him of lying to her, that's when they're supposed to tell each other everything. And then he's like, whoa, 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 like, you've been lying to me too. Like, he knows that she's been lying to him because he's been watching her too. And they actually have this really nice moment, like in the midst of all this, like arguing and disagreement, where he tells her, where she's like, whoa, have you been following me? Like, how do you know that I've been doing this stuff? And he's like, because I told you I've been watching all the people that I love and you're on the top of that list. And I'm like, God damn it. That is so sweet. Like, kind of creepy that you're that you're like watching in the shadows of the people that you love, but really sweet that he tells Tandy that she's on the top of that list of the people that he loves. Oh, my heart. Anyway, so during that argument, you know, they're both like going back and forth, like, yo, they basically both have been lying to each other, And they call each other out, and Tandy ends up storming out during that argument. And, you know, it's just, I really enjoy their relationship. Before they started arguing, they've been regularly having movie nights in the church when she goes to visit him. So they've been spending a lot of time together. And it says a lot that they've been spending, you know, a fair bit of time together, and Ty still goes out and watches Tandy. So, and they, you know, they talk about it. Like, they've been regularly having these movie nights and everything. So, yeah. Ugh. I love them. Like, they're both so good. The actors, well, I forget what their name is. Aubrey and I forget their names. But I'll know their names next week. I really like them, the actors. So what else happened? Oh, let's talk about Tandy, because Tandy has been living the life of a normal, you know, 16-year-old girl. She's back with her mom. She and her mom have been repairing their relationship. They're taking group therapy, and Tandy is dancing again. She's in ballet. So she's living what's supposed to be a normal teenage girl life, but not our Tandy. Tandy has got a ton of things going on. So she's taking dance class again, and the teacher is a bit of a hard ass on her. You know, she's late to class, or she's late putting on her her ballet flats. So she has to, the teacher like holds her up in class. And then when they're practicing, you know, their moves and everything, the teacher is like singling her out to say like, hey, if you're new in this class, you don't have to try to impress me. You can, you know, like do the move right. Don't try to impress the teacher. So Tandy is like, you know, she's got a bit of pressure there. And then there's group therapy. And it seems like she's kind of forgiven her mother. Like, at one point, she says that she calls her mom a hero. Like, after her mom says her piece in the therapy about, you know, how she lied to protect her husband's memory, and like just all the things that she did, that she thought she was doing the right thing, but it wound up just continuing this cycle of abuse. After Tandy hears all that, the therapist asks Tandy what she thinks about it, and Tandy says that she thinks that her mom was heroic. And it's like, wow, that's like such a big, that's like a complete 180 from the last season, because last season, like, Tandy thought her mom was like trash. She was just like the gum on her shoe. She had more respect for that than she had for her mother, because like for her mom was just a drug addict, and she actually blamed her mother for her father's death. And to be fair, her mother was like really in a bad place when she was younger. So, I mean, the way she felt was understandable. And then her mother, you know, did what she said. She was lying to protect her husband's memory. And now she's not. And now that Tandy knows the truth, her anger is aimed in the right place. Like, she's angry at her father now, but it's so, she won't talk about anything else in group. Like, she never talks about anything else. She never expresses any more feelings in group. So we don't know. I don't know how much she's been sharing, but something tells me that Tandy hasn't been sharing a ton in that group therapy. So we see that she's like really bottling things up. She, throughout the two episodes, she's like having these bursts of anger where lights are exploding around her. She's having she sees her father coming at her at a certain point in the second episode. When she's talking to someone else, she has like, I don't know, her father like there walking toward her, like as a figment of her imagination. And she explodes lights at that moment too. She gets so upset. So yeah, she has a lot going on, and neither she or Ty are dealing with their shit in a very good way. So Tandy meets a girl in group therapy that is being abused. Like in the first class, you know that she's being abused and she doesn't want to speak. Like she's introduced to the class and she needs somewhere to stay. And like everybody immediately recognizes that she is in an abusive relationship. And Tandy introduces herself at the end of a class and she offers to talk to the girl, you know, like anytime the girl needs someone to talk to, like just talk to me, blah, blah, blah. And she is just, the girl, Michaela, I believe that's her name, is just not interested in any of that. So Tandy follows her around and she goes to the house and she sees the girl she gets hit by her boyfriend, and then the Michaela runs out and she leaves. And when Michaela leaves, Tandy goes into the dude's house and she writes leave her alone on the wall with one of her light daggers. And she slices up his apartment or his house or whatever it is, his bungalow. She slices everything up and then she slams the door on her way out. So the guy wakes up, he sees that written on the wall, and you know right away that as much as Tandy wants to help, doing this was the wrong thing. And then we see when they go back to group therapy, Michaela comes back and she cannot sing the praises of her boyfriend enough. She's talking about how he was attacked by three people in his house. You know, there was a break-in, a robbery. He fought off three guys and he learned that, you know, how badly he was behaving, and he will never treat her that way again. And Tandy is listening to this like her head is about to explode while she's listening to this, because the Michaela is like, you know, I finally see the person that I used to know before he got all angry and everything, before he started getting abusive. Like he's turning back into the guy that I fell in love with. And Tandy just freaks out on Michaela. And she's like, are you crazy? Like, you really believe this? Or, you know, like how can you do this? And Michaela is trying to explain to her, like, you know, I understand where he's coming from. And he even offers, it's basically the abusive man handbook. Michaela is repeating, like, if you've ever heard anyone who's been in an abusive relationship speak, especially during the good times, then you know, like, you could just cut and paste whatever they said onto Michaela, and that's what it is. Like, she is textbook abused woman. And Tandy is like, Tandy goes off on her in this group therapy session. She, you know, she starts yelling at her, like, you just have to leave. You know, you really believe this guy is going to do what he says? And do you really believe that he was, that he fought off these three guys? Like, it's really a cute story that he told. And it's like, you can tell she's like feeling, she's projecting onto Michaela. She's feeling guilty because what she did actually contributed to why Michaela thinks that her boyfriend is in a good place right now. And everybody is trying to call Tandy back. You know, what ends up making Michaela run out of the class is when Tandy says, if you're in this kind of abusive relationship, you just have to leave. Like, this is your choice. You're making this choice to stay in this abusive relationship. Just leave it. And that's when Michaela just runs out, and you know, the therapist tells Tandy, like, yo, we're not here to judge people. Tandy's mom is telling her, you're wrong right now, like, you shouldn't have done that. And she actually talks to her mom after the class, and Tandy is like telling her, like you, we all knew that she was like not in a, that this is not a good thing, her going back to her boyfriend. Like, we all recognize that this is a bad thing, so why is it wrong for me to say it? And her mom tells her, yo, you can't be doing this, like, just because, like, you know that it's wrong, you know she's in an abusive relationship. What you're doing just pushes her further toward him, like, just pushes her back into his arms, because she doesn't feel safe here. Like, you're being judgmental, you're yelling at her, you're telling her that it's her fault that she's being abused, so she's not going to come over here for help. She's going to go to what she knows, and she's going to go back to her abuser, especially if he's being nice right now. And so Tandy knows that she really fucked up, and Ty's in the same place, because he knows that he fucked up, because, you know, everything is going bad. So he goes to Tandy, and he apologizes to her, and he asks for her help. And one of the things that he heard Bridget O'Reilly say is that when she was on the phone, like, he was sitting outside her apartment, and he hears her on the phone with her boss, you know, her senior officer, and one of the things he hears her say is that they need a confession from, you know, somebody at this closed door meeting that they're going to have. And if they get a confession, or they get some good, like, information on tape, then everything will be, like, handled. So Ty, instead of minding his own damn business, goes back to, he wants Tandy to help him go back to, they're going to this club where they're going to have the meeting. And he wants her to go to this club with him, and he's going to plant a recorder so that he can record the meeting, and he'll give it to O'Reilly, and that'll fix everything. So they do it. They go to this club, and it's like, it starts off nice, you know, because they plant the recorder, and then they just have to sort of, they have to stay there and wait so that they can retrieve it. And so they basically just spend time, like, having fun in the club. You know, Tandy is trying to get Ty to dance, and, you know, it's a fun time until shit isn't fun anymore. And they see that somebody gets thrown up against the glass window, and they see, you know, blood and everything, and they run in the room, and everybody is dead. Oh my God. Everybody's dead, and Bridget O'Reilly shows up, and that's how the first episode ends. And the second episode begins where they replay that, and what we see is that one of the guys that was in that meeting, he was on the floor, and he makes this symbol that Ty recognizes as a voodoo symbol. And when Bridget shows up, she tells them, you know, get the F out of here before I arrest you. And, you know, she's like walking around asking them, like, what they touched, because they can't be there. And then she kicks them out. And when she kicks them out, when she opens the door, it blows the symbol away, because the guy made the symbol out of, you know, whatever drugs they had there. So, like, some cocaine or something, the cocaine powder. That's how he made the symbol. And it blows away when she opens the door. And then she does something else. She kicks them out. And then she takes the recorder from Ty, and she calls the cops. I don't even know how she showed up there, though. I wonder if he called her. I can't remember whether he called her, because I don't think she would just show up. But yeah, I do think Ty and Tandy called her, and that's why she shows up. But she calls the police herself, and she, like, disguises her voice, and she says that there's been, you know, a shooting, or, you know, there are dead bodies in this club. And then she she walks out. Like, she doesn't want to leave any trace of herself there either. So she calls over the speakerphone. She doesn't touch any of the keys. And then when she leaves, she wipes everything off that she touches. And then she walks out of the room, too. So, yeah, Bridget has got some shit going on. And we find out that she's basically a split. I thought at first that it was a split personality, but it is a split personality, but it's two completely separate beings. Like, it's basically, she's got in, you know, there's Bridget and then there's evil Bridget, who I guess is going to be Mayhem. They don't say her name on the episode, but I believe she's going to be, you know, evil Bridget is going to be Mayhem. I wasn't expecting that. I was thinking that it was going to be like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of thing, where she is one body, but she's going to be like switching personalities for whenever. But that's not the case, so it doesn't even matter. But yeah, so there's two Bridgets, Ty and Tandy. I guess Bridget is going to be the big bad for the season, I guess. But there's other stuff going on that, okay, so they have the gang thing going on. That's Ty's thing. Tandy's thing is these missing girls, I believe, because at one point in the second episode, Michaela goes missing. Tandy can't find her. She, you know, she's blaming herself for Michaela not showing up to group therapy. She's not at her boyfriend's house. Like, Tandy has been looking for her. And then she gets help from this guy. Oh my God. I believe his name is Andre or Andrew. I forget his name. He's a good looking guy. But he goes with Tandy and they go to, like one of these, I don't know, one of the old these old neighborhoods. They're like walking around, and this is like when Tandy has a freak out when she sees a vision of her father, and she runs away from this guy. They were doing something in this episode, in the second episode, where they're showing how the timelines converged. I think it is, this episode, White Lines. I don't know quite how to describe it. They show the same scenes over again, but it's from different perspectives. So like when Tandy is at like a parking lot and she's looking for the ambulance driver that dropped Michaela off at the hospital, and she shows up, like Tandy is already there, and then Bridget O'Reilly shows up, who is not Bridget, she's actually Mayhem. And so they start working together, but then you see it again from another angle. You see the interaction again from, I guess, from Bridget's point of view or from Tandy's point of view. I forget how it went, but you keep seeing these scenes over and over again. And you see how they get to where they are at the end of the episode. And I liked it. I liked the way they you know, sort of jumped around like that. And you see how these stories cross, how Ty is looking for help. How he sees Evita again is that he goes to Evita's auntie to ask her about the symbol that he saw for at the shooting. And she tells him that it was, you know, some kind of voodoo symbol, and that it's a symbol that means that you're either that the person that made it either wants to be taken to the other side to be with their ancestors, or the person wants justice. And Ty has a pretty good talk with her because he doesn't know what to do with himself. He just doesn't know what to do. Like, he feels trapped, and like he can't go home. He can't do anything that he used to do. So she tells him that the answers that he needs are within himself, that he needs to pray on it. And he like scoffs at that because even before all of this started happening, he was like having, he was having a crisis of faith before any of the bad stuff, you know, that happened to him last season started to happen. So she tells him that he needs to pray on it and he needs to look within himself for the answers for how to change things. And so that's what he does. He goes back to his church and he starts drawing the symbol on the ground, and he ends up being transported to Michaela. He was looking for justice in that moment, and he gets transported for some reason to Michaela. And she's in an ambulance, and she's tied to a stretcher, and she's begging him to help her to get her out of there. And the ambulance driver and his partner are up front. The partner has a gun. It's like they're transporting a prisoner, the way they're transporting her. And Ty can't help her. Before he gets shot, he transports back out of there, and he can't get back to her. And he spends all of his time trying to draw that symbol again, trying to get back to her. And Evita eventually helps him. And this is how he finds out that he can transport with another person, because he tells Evita at first that he can transport, you know, to a bunch of different places, but he doesn't know how to take someone else with him. And it turns out that if the person just held his hand, he would have been able to transport himself and someone else, because that's what Evita was doing at the time. She was showing him how to draw the Voodoo symbol to get what he needed out of it. And she was touching his hand at the time, and he ends up transporting to the hospital right in front of Michaela. And Michaela has been, she's overdosed on heroin. Tandy eventually finds out that Michaela is in the hospital, and she goes to her. And when she touches Michaela and looks into like her mind, she sees the bar. She sees a bar, and she sees Michaela being injected with the heroin while she's in the ambulance. And that's how she ends up at the fenced in place area is where the ambulance driver is at the end of the episode. And that's how Bridget O'Reilly shows up. Ty ends up going to Bridget's apartment, and he hears her like screaming, like muffled screams in there. The real Bridget is tied up in her apartment. Ty goes to save her, and he's like, who did this to you? And she's like, I did this to me. Like, we need to get out of here. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about? And he ends up transferring him and Bridget to where Tandy is. And we see the mayhem Bridget, who was talking to Tandy and the ambulance driver. They were trying to get information out of him. And she ends up slitting the guy's throat. She sends Tandy away. She ends up slitting the guy's throat. And when Tandy, real Bridget, and Ty show up, the episode ends right there. And she's like, oh, now we all know. Because Mayhem knows who Tandy and Ty are. She knows all of their secrets. And so, yeah. This is going to be like some crazy shit going forward, because Mayhem knows all about Tandy and Ty. She also just murdered a guy. She murdered the ambulance driver. Yeah, this is just going to be crazy. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen next, because like, how are they going to deal with two Bridgets running around? Because Mayhem Bridget was doing like the detective work for the entire day. She goes to the widow of a guy that was killed at the gang meeting thing, and you know, she's interrogating people. I don't know what she wants. I don't know what Mayhem wants to do. Like, does she just want to be an agent of KI's killing people? We still don't know who killed those gang members at that meeting. That meeting was between the two gangs. It was supposed to stop the gang violence. It was supposed to make a deal so we can stop all the violence around here. Yeah, who knows who killed those people? I'm wondering if Mayhem did it. Like, did she show up and do it? Because we kind of see the moment where they have the split, like where Bridget is coming out of the bar and she's like throwing up all over the place while she's walking down the street. And then she looks into a puddle of water and she has this moment where she, you know, her alter ego is looking in the puddle, is talking to her, calling her pathetic and like she's a waste. And I'm guessing that's the moment when they split, but I'm not exactly sure if that's the moment when they split. Like, Bridget has been having a rough time, so who the hell knows? That was the end of the episode. Another thing that I liked is that while Tandy is walking around looking for Michaela and she's with the guy whose name I forgot, Andre something or Andrew something, she sees these women standing around a pole of a bunch that has a bunch of like missing girls posters on it, and missing black and brown girls, to be specific. And they're having like, I guess, a vigil, and they're singing around it. And Tandy is watching and he joins her, and she's looking for Michaela. So there's just all these missing girls. And Tandy is like, why aren't people doing something? Like, there's at least 13 or 14 girls on that pole, their posters are on that pole. And she's wondering why something is not happening. And she has to be told by this guy, like, hey, there are people looking. Those are the women that are looking. They share information here. And he tells her, he breaks it down for her, like, yeah, if it was you, like a pretty white girl with a white mother who can cry her white tears on television, the police would be here. But black and brown girls do not get the same treatment. And I like that they address that here, because Tandy is forced. She is constantly forced to have to face her privilege. They respect the fact that Tandy has had some bad things happen to her, but they also let her know that a lot of the things that she got to do, a lot of the things that she got to do in the first season, the stealing from guys and the living in the church, like a bunch of the shit that she got to do was because she had privilege, because she was a privileged white girl. And I like the fact that they keep letting you know that she's had bad shit happen to her, and we're not going to minimize that, but we're also going to say that she does have a level of privilege. And the privilege to not know that these girls are missing and not know why that they don't get the same coverage that a girl like her would get. Privileged naivete. Like, we all know Tandy's like street smart in a way, but she's also really naive in a lot of other ways. I like that about this show. I like the way they deal with race on the show. So far, so good. I need Black Lightning to take some of the lessons that Cloak and Dagger is handing out to people, because they do. They really deal with race in a way that doesn't feel pandering or it doesn't feel like it's trying to coddle white people either. At least not to me. Maybe somebody else has a different opinion, but I do feel like this is a show that's not trying to coddle white people and make white people feel better about racism. But you deal with it from Tandy, who was like learning about her privilege, learning about racism. And so, yeah, I'm digging that. So that is the end of the episode. We got a lot going on with our faves that I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. I don't think I'm going to be able to live tweet this episode like with everybody else, but I am going to tweet while I'm watching it. Because I'm watching it on Hulu this season. I'm not going to be around to live tweet the episode while it's happening. I'll be tweeting while I watch it the next day. So if you want to join me for that, you can follow me on Twitter at NerdyPods. I use the hashtag NerdyWatch while I'm live tweeting everything. You can follow me on Instagram at The Introverted Nerd, on Facebook, like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheIntrovertedNerd. I'm also on Tumblr. I'm The Introverted Nerd over there. You can send me feedback for this show or Saved by the Bell or whatever. Send it to theintrovertednerd@gmail.com. And I don't think I have a Saved by the Bell episode this week, but you can listen to The Introverted Nerd Reads, because I'm doing Game of Thrones over there, you guys. Game of Thrones. I'm reading the A Song of Ice and Fire series one chapter at a time. This is the first time I'm reading it. No spoilers. So if you want to join me for that, episodes come out every Monday. I just recently moved that podcast over to Anchor. So if you would like to follow me over there, I'll leave a link in the podcast. Just follow The Introverted Nerd Reads. Not follow, but subscribe to The Introverted Nerd Reads. You can listen to all those podcasts. I'll have links to everything in the show notes. And you can also donate to The Introverted Nerd Reads to keep that show going, because this is starting to get expensive. Thank you for listening, everybody. I will be back for Cloak and Dagger next week. I will also be back for Saved by the Bell next week. So you've had all this time to watch the next episode of Saved by the Bell. You better go watch it. Until next week, everybody. Bye.